Affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. You begin to get a sense that the slow drip, drip, drip of information about domestic spying, absolute honest-to-God attacks on the United States by the president, attacks on the Constitution, attacks on the Fourth Amendment, and by definition, every other amendment as well. The drip is turning into a flow. What did we get today? Oh, we got plenty. Let's see. We got, how about it turned, you know, how I've said it a million times. These people have never, ever, ever had an original idea to call their own. And as it turns out, I'm just me. I'm correct. The business with the domestic spying and the wiretapping at the will and pleasure of the president, all of that silly garbage, it goes all the way back to Richard Nixon's Attorney General John Mitchell. And who it turns out is tied in with all that? Why, it's Sammy Bad Breath, Sammy Alito. Nominee for the United States Supreme Court, Sammy Alito. The guy they call Scalito. The guy that's into strip-searching 10-year-old little girls. Yeah, that Sammy Alito. Back when he was working for the government, he was asked that question about wiretapping without warrants. And he said, well, you know, I think the Attorney General should be able to do that. I really do. But I would suggest against it because you would probably lose in court. You get the way these people think? Oh, my God. It's stunning to contemplate. Not, I don't think the Attorney General should do this because it's wrong, or I don't think the Attorney General should do this because it's unconstitutional. No, Sammy Bad Breath's answer was, I don't think the Attorney General should do anything like that because he might get caught. Because he might get caught. Now, that certainly is the Republican moral high ground, isn't it? Whatever happened to that moral absolutism that the right wing was so fond of and the fundamentalists screamed, there are things that are absolutely right and absolutely wrong, praise Jesus. And we conservatives, we believe in the rightness and the wrongness of things. We don't believe in all this modern liberal gray area. For yea, verily, the gray area is a prim is the asphalt on the primrose path that is wide and broad and leads straight to hell. Well, apparently, Sammy Bad Breath's been traveling on that wide gray area. You know, well, you know, he writes, me personally, if it was up to me, I'd wiretap everybody I knew if I was Attorney General. But, you know, the thing is, you don't want to do it because you might get caught. Oh, my God. I'm just astonished. And later, well, you know, I don't want to burn up the whole 3 hours in, you know, 5 minutes. But then there's the news story that's out. The Bush administration secretly searched mosques, Islamic centers, all over the country, in D.C. in particular. What were they looking for? Nuclear residue. That's right. They secretly searched, Patriot Act, sneak and peek garbage. They secretly searched Muslims for nuclear residue. Darling, did you bring home dinner tonight? Yes, and I brought some lovely nuclear residue too. How must, you know, we're so worried. Or the right wing is. We're not necessarily. The right wing is so worried. You know, them Muslims over here, you know, they don't love Jesus the right way. And they could just turn into a tourist in a minute. I know we've got a few right wing workers and stuff. Guys, did it ever occur to you that when them Muslims find out that the government that they're trying to be loyal to is spying on them for no good reason whatsoever, that maybe that might be the kind of thing that shoves them up? No, that argument's not going to work with them because they didn't understand that when you blow up a guy's entire family and, you know, the only things left is the little 9-year-old boy and mommy's gone, daddy was blown into bits, a little girl was rent limb from limb, his sisters, his cousins, his aunts, his uncles, when everybody, and that he's going to grow up and say, you know, I'm going to get back at those SOBs one way or another. So they didn't understand that part, and then they stand there with that sort of open mouth, vacant look on their face and go, I wonder why them insurgents is willing to blow themselves up. So trying to explain to them that the best way to radicalize the Muslims in this country is to, you know, spy on them in complete abrogation of everything that the Constitution says. I don't expect that one to go home either. But it certainly was a shock. And then, above all, the revelations in today's Washington Post from former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle. Oh, I think we absolutely must talk about all these things tonight. We simply must. And we'll have a little fun, too. A little something to read early in the program that might give you a giggle. So we'll come back with all of that after the break. Of course, a reminder of the phone number, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email to bob@headonradio.com. You're welcome to use them. Any of them, any way you choose. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe 3 times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
It's River Dance.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after the hour. This is Head On, and I'm Bob. The Gora. Christmas music of a sort, and I enjoy it. You should see the looks I'm getting from Agnes right now. Welcome to Fun with Radio, dear. It's a grand and glorious thing. Now, I promised you some silliness. I don't know if you've read this or not, but I couldn't resist. A little piece by Rosa Brooks, who is a professor of law. This appeared in the Los Angeles Times. The Grinch Factor. Have you seen this? Okay, I'll trust that maybe some of you haven't. The Who's, down in Whoville, were a tolerant lot. Who Christians, who Muslims, a who melting pot. Who Hindus, who atheists, who Buddhists, who Jews, who Confucians, who pagans, and even who Druze. The Who First Amendment's Establishment Clause said no creches in courts, and the Who's loved their laws because somehow they worked. The Who's rarely fought. Mostly each Who did just what he ought. Every Who down in Whoville loved the Constitution a lot. But the O'Reilly, who lived up in Foxville, did not. The O'Reilly detested the Who Constitution. He thought it was some sort of liberal pollution. Now, please don't ask why, for I really don't know. Perhaps it had something to do with his show. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on quite right, or it could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his ratings were 2 sizes too small. Well, whatever it was, bad ratings or tight shoes, he stood there one Christmas just hating the Who's. They're so multicultural, he sneered. And wherever they're from, they lack the good sense to just launch a pogrom. There's no Who ethnic cleansing, no Who inquisition. If this peace can't be stopped, I may lose my position. Those sensitive, tolerant Who's, it's quite grating. I must think of something to fix my show's ratings. Then he said with a smirk, I know just what to do to destroy all the joy in the land of the Who. I think I can end that PC Who peace. This year not one Who will enjoy his roast beast. Here's just how I'll do it. I'll tell each Who Christian that the liberal Who's have devised a new mission to take away Christmas to mock and destroy till no little Who Christian is left with a toy. And when secular Who's, most likely Who Jews, attempt to deny it, well, I'll just spin the news. I'll bluff and I'll lie. I'll sow seeds of mistrust. Soon they'll form battle lines into Who them and Who us. Based on which Who's prefer to sing out Merry Christmas and which Who's say Kwanzaa or none of your business. They'll get so confused and so mad, that they won't even notice the way they've been had. They'll be so busy squabbling they won't notice the war. They won't care if Who rich start to trample Who poor. Forget torture and terror and taxes and health. They'll waste all their time on some red-hatted elf. And the Who Constitution, they'll stretch it or burn it. If it came as a gift, they would try to return it. The Who Christians will think that they fight the good fight. They won't know that they're puppets of the Foxville far right. They'll forget all that drivel about faith, hope, and love, and say, Merry Christmas, with a sneer and a shove, but I will prosper. My ratings will soar. And maybe at last they'll forget I'm a boor. Then for every Who Christmas tree a most fitting adornment, my O'Reilly mug on the tackiest ornament. And what happened then? Well, the rest's up to you. But I know what I'd like this holiday season. A little less noise and a little more reason. So Who Christians, Who Buddhists, Who Muslims, Who Jews? Whoever you are, just say no to Fox News. If you don't want to lose the whole Who Constitution, it's time to reject the far-right revolution. So turn off O'Reilly and everyone shrill. Let's have some peace and old-fashioned goodwill. Rosa Brooks, that was brilliant. Good writing. Okay, frivolity over. Well, not necessarily. I mentioned the last couple of nights, this one particular pardon that Dear Leader has issued this holiday season. Wendy St. Charles. Hey, Denver, time for your ride home. I'm Wendy St. Charles. Looks like the expressway's... You know, what a name, Wendy St. Charles. Okay, I'm flashing on General Hospital. That's St. Charles, isn't it, dear? Yeah, okay. I was thinking she sounded like a soap opera. Wendy St. Charles got pardoned for dealing coke back in 1984. And, of course, you remember she's a silk stocking lawyer now with a law firm that's also part and parcel of a Denver home builder. It's called MDC Holdings. They're the parent of Richmond American Homes. Money. Lots of money. Yummy money. So it turned, and what I asked the other night was, there's got to be a reason for this pardon. There has to be a reason for this pardon. George Bush doesn't have mercy in his soul, and you know, no justice has ever been done him, so he's unlikely to be much interested in that either. So there's got to be a reason for Wendy St. Charles to be pardoned for her 1984 coke dealing bust. You know, just make it go away. When she applies for something, and they say, hey, didn't you get busted for coke? Heck no! My record's been scrubbed clean. You can look all you want. You won't find that 1984 coke dealing bust. 'Cause I got me a pardon. A presidential pardon. See how it works? Sure. Well, so I was asking, you know, there's just got to be a reason for this. This doesn't, George Bush just doesn't do things. There's a reason. I mean, how many other people are there out there with coke dealing busts? I didn't see him pardon Cheech Marin Tommy Chong rather. Cheech doesn't. No, I didn't see him pardoning Tommy Chong for the big bust that John Ashcroft obtained against him for you remember the internet sales site Chong's Bongs. Tommy Chong went to federal prison for that. I didn't see him on the pardon list this year. So you can't help but scratch your little head and wonder why in the world Wendy St. Charles, coke dealer, got a pardon. And no, this is not about coke dealers. The drug laws are stupid, asinine, idiotic, foolish. But sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. Right? So, Wendy St. Charles. Why would Wendy St. Charles get a pardon? And I've been at, somebody does it. Well, the Associated Press is reporting that the chairman of MDC Holdings, parent of Richmond American Homes, the chairman of MDC Holdings is one Larry Mizell. Larry Mizell. And just in case you were wondering, he and his wife, Carol, have donated more than $500,000 to Republican campaigns in the last few years. Oh, it just makes sense, doesn't it? Anybody remember Mark Rich? Do you remember the Mark Rich pardon as Bill Clinton was going out of office and how we were subjected to 6 solid weeks of O'Reilly and Hannity and Flush and Savage and all those other cretins? Well, there should be, and then God knows Congress got in the air, there should be a congressional investigation of the pardon of Mark Rich. Why was Mark Rich pardoned? Was it because he was a donor to the Clinton campaign? My friends, there must be this pardon must be recalled. Now, Mark Rich was, this was nothing but political payola. This was nothing but political payback. This cannot be tolerated in the American Republic. This is the absolute corruption and vilification of the American political system. Remember that? Sure you do. Shh. Don't say anything about George Bush pardoning one of his donors' top lawyers. We wouldn't want to say anything about that now, would we? Oh, yes, we do. Shout it from the mountaintop, sunshine. We're taking a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
But nothing is that. He's the boogie woogie Santa Claus. The boogie woogie Santa Claus. The boogie woogie Santa comes to town every Christmas. He lives up in the mountain like a hermit in a cave. He never had a haircut and he never took a shave. He's the boogie woogie Santa Claus. The boogie woogie Santa Claus. The boogie woogie Santa will boogie all your. A candy for your star. But when it starts to boogie, the whole town rocks. Rock, Mr. Santa.
Thanks for sticking around. Coming up on 27 minutes before the hour, a quick reminder. I'm Bob. The phone number 877, the number 4, head on 877-443-2366, or in the alternative 304-658-3333. Email Bob at headonradio.com or my lovely wife Agnes at headonradio.com. That's just Agnes. Now, you don't have to put the my lovely wife part in. Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. Now, a little information moment. I've had a couple of queries as to some of the Christmas music. Last night we ran a really brilliant version of Little Drummer Boy. And I believe we had a couple of requests. Just wanted to know who it was. That was the Dandy Warhols. The Dandy Warhols. And you got to admit, that's one of the best band names of all time. So there you have it. The Little Drummer Boy was by the Dandy Warhols. We'll try to maybe wedge that in again tonight. It resonated, as it were. Now, you are, I'm sure, familiar with, because it's been all over the news today, you're familiar with the response of Tom Daschle today in the Washington Post about the secret spying program. What you may not have seen is the response of Bill Keller, who is the editor-in-chief of the New York Times. Apparently, so many emails and phone calls and snail mails have come into the New York Times saying, why didn't you low-rent suckers bust this program when you had a chance? When you heard about it a year ago, after it had only been going on for 3 years instead of four. Why didn't... So you get... Apparently, there have been so many queries that they had to put out a form letter. Or a form response. Dear sir or madam. Well, that certainly is warm and intimate, isn't it? You know, you get an email from a guy named Dave and you still get something. Dear sir or madam. A number of readers have written to ask us about the Times' decision to disclose the president's secret order authorizing certain domestic wiretaps without a warrant. Some readers are concerned that reporting about this program might jeopardize government efforts to prevent terrorist attacks. Others wonder why we did not publish the story when we first learned of it. Well, that was my question. This is just the smarmiest piece of garbage I think I've read in a long, long time. A little lecture on journalism, you know, for us, you know, us hoi polloi, us unwashed, the great unwashed us. We start with the premise that a newspaper's job is to publish. Time out. Okay, we're taking phone calls and just having conversations off the... never mind. So, we start with the premise that a newspaper's job, you little morons, is to publish information that is a matter of public interest. Clearly, a secret policy reversal that gives an American intelligence agency discretion to monitor communications within the country is a matter of public interest. From the outset, the question was not why we would publish it, but why we would not. Well, I'm just all over that. Why would not we? Just a minute. I'm doing six things at once. There, I think we've got it sorted out.
Thank you.
Okie dokie. Let's get back to doing some radio now. A year ago, this is the really good part of Keller's letter. A year ago, when this information first became known to Times reporters, the administration argued strongly that writing about this eavesdropping program would give terrorists clues about the vulnerability of their communications. Okay? And would deprive the government of an effective tool for the protection of the country's security. Officials also assured senior editors of the Times. How nice. Officials also assured senior editors of the Times. Well, goody.
Thank you.
That's so nice. It's so nice to know that the New York Times senior editors, who know so much more than the rest of us, you know, those of us who, you know, go to the polls, do that silly stuff, you know, voting. Assured senior editors of the Times that a variety of legal checks had been imposed that satisfied everyone involved that the program raised no legal questions. As we have done before, in rare instances when faced with a convincing national security argument, we agreed not to publish at the time. Can we all agree that the New York Times can just shut down and go home now? When you get a... I know, I had to do a couple of different things and broke it, but when you get that kind of smarmy garbage... They're done. They're not guardians of the First Amendment. They're not guardians of the expositors of the truth. They're nothing but a bunch of political suck-ups and hacks. Who were those senior editors of the Times? Is it fair to ask a question? Was Judy Miller part of that calculus? You know, didn't Bill Keller go and pick her up as she got out of the stir and take her for a steak dinner at, you know, what, Four Seasons, whatever? Senior editors at the Times were assured. Now, isn't it convenient? We know now that this information was held by the Times prior to the 2004 elections. That's conveniently forgotten about in this response. Prior to the 2004 elections, when this was found out, the Bush campaign came to the Times and said, "Don't publish this. That commie pinko John Kerry's likely to win if you publish this. Here, we'll give you some cover. Tell them when you just say that we've told you there are checks and balances, and we've promised you that there are safeguards in place, and everything's hunky dory, and you don't have to, and everybody can just be okay with this. My God, if you put this out before the election, that the dear leaders sunk." We've spent all this time, and you've spent all this ink running all this swift boat filth. And now you're going to do us in by telling everybody about our little secret spying program? What are you people thinking? It's national security. That's what it is. It's national security. Just say it's national security, and everybody will shut up and be happy. "First, we developed a fuller picture of the concerns and misgivings that had been expressed during the life of the program. It is not our place..." Wait a minute. This is where Bill Keller announces that the New York Times won't be doing any more editorials. "It is not our place to pass judgment on the legal or civil liberties questions involved in such a program. But it became clear those questions loomed larger within the government than we had previously understood." I guess they previously understood because stenographer Judy Miller's... Yeah, there are connections here. Judy Miller covered for Scooter Libby. Judy Miller wasn't covering for a whistleblower. Judy Miller wasn't covering for Deep Throat. Judy Miller was covering up one of the scumbags who was involved in the leaking of the identity of a CIA secret agent. That's what Judy Miller did. Judy Miller did, as it turns out, the same damned thing that Bill Keller did with this story. This is strike two. Strike two. Twice now, the New York Times has been caught covering up for government skullduggery. And no, not government skullduggery, Bush administration skullduggery. The New York Times, you know, everybody was so breathless. Ooh, look, it's journalism on the... Oh, look, they're... Man, that's some hard-nosed journalism a week ago when this story broke. But now we know that it wasn't. This is coffee-clutch journalism. This is journalism of the glitterati. This is worse than the National Enquirer. I don't like snobbery. Whether it be commercial, financial, intellectual, I don't like snobbery. "Second, in the course of subsequent reporting, we satisfied ourselves that we could write about this program, withholding a number of technical details in a way that would not expose any intelligence-gathering methods or capabilities that are not already on the public record." Bug spray. They had reported in extremis about Echelon during the Clinton administration. There's no new technology here. There's nothing new here. This is the same supercomputers. These are the same... Look, it's... It's the same button they push when they want a wiretap. The only thing is, previously they had to get a court order to do it, and now they just didn't want to anymore. Without divulging technicalities. My left hind foot. The NSA has for the past 3 years had the authority to eavesdrop on Americans and others inside the United States without a warrant. It is that expansion of authority, not the need for a robust anti-terror intelligence operation, that prompted debate within the government, and that is the subject of the article. Beyond that, we will let the story speak for itself, so why don't you people just quit sending us the emails asking us why we have turned into a tawdry little piece of trash rag? Bill Keller. Well, never get in a fight with a guy who buys ink by the barrel, but honest to God. You know, if you want to, Woodward and Bernstein call that? That's a non-denial denial. That's a Gertrude Stein. That's Oakland, California. There's no there. It's a whitewash job. That's a, you know, it's a dodge. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Some phone calls if you want. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and chill.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding. Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so...
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
All righty then. We all know now that the New York Times is dead. So let's go to the phones and, yeah, okay. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good.
Merry Christmas to all of you again and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you. We went out and got the Whoville roast beast today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we got the standing rib roast.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what about the wassail?
The wassail I'm working on.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we have wassail hour instead of cocktail hour or whatever.
I see. You know, it's a pity that Kay Graham is not alive. Catherine Graham of the Post. Because I'll be damned if she would have whitewashed this for that son of a gun.
Yeah. nice skate save there.
What do you mean?
Son of a gun. Good job.
Well... You know, I'll tell you something.
Now, is that as offensive to you as it is to me?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, if Kay Graham and Ben Bradley had gotten a hold of a story like that, Bush would have been a cinder.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, you know, this is all equestrianism in an empty barn, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, I mean, the door's open, the horse is bolted. The only thing you can do is
It would have been a lot easier to stop before it got started than it is stopping it after the fact. And the Bush administration knew that. That's why they went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, an ounce of petition is worth a pound of manure, and that's exactly what the New York Times did. And
yeah.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, that's the cure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you get what I'm saying about Judy Miller and the whole thing?
I wish she still was in jail. I mean, she helped write a lot of that yellow journalism that's gotten us into where we are now, into Southwest Asia.
Right. You know, this is all the stuff that Curveball was throwing her through Chalabi, or Chalabi's nephew.
As far as I'm concerned, I would put her in a stir and throw away the key.
Well, that's not journalism. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
It's basically like William Randolph Hearst said about the Spanish-American War. You give me the story and I'll give you the war.
Right. You give me the pictures.
The pictures of Frederick Remington, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what this whole thing is. Nothing's changed, really. And, of course, and you've got people in this country who believe it and who agree with Bill Clinton pardon those people. They just were aghast and horror of what he did. And yet Bush, and who is this woman that he pardoned?
Wendy St. Charles.
Why, has she been underneath his desk or something?
Or somebody's. I mean, it's money, you know. That's the thing about. I trust somebody that will go out and philander around a little bit sexually more than I do somebody who will philander a little bit financially.
Well, you know, as Mae West once said, a little hush money does a lot of talking.
Ain't that the truth?
It is the truth, absolutely. And, you know, basically it's salvation by the shilling with these people.
Well, if you recall the amount of hell that was raised over Mark Rich, and I bear no love for Mark Rich, okay? He was part and parcel behind the whole Ravenswood aluminum lockout. He made misery for hundreds, if not thousands, of people's lives around Jackson County and Roane County and Wood County, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So I got nothing for him, and it didn't please me when Clinton pardoned him. But I remember that just I thought hell was going to come up through the cracks in the earth from the screeching and the screaming and the squawking of the right wing machine over that pardon. And here it is again, and you know, hear the crickets. You know, no noise, no nothing.
Now, is this something he can do that he normally does at Christmas time as a gift, or sparing the turkey at Thanksgiving, or is this something he can do at any time?
He can do it at any time. But,
well, I hate to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet as far as some of the people he's going to pardon.
Oh, he's already pardoned some. And his, like I said last night, his daddy pardoned a Pakistani smack dealer who then turned tail and fled back to Pakistan. And you don't know who that guy was. His name was Aslam something, just went back to Pakistan, probably went back into business. Where do they grow that heroin again? Oh, yeah, Afghanistan.
You can imagine that money changed hands with somebody somewhere.
All with these guys, that's what it's all about.
Well, sure it is. I mean, you know, an aluminum suitcase full of so many bills and things like that.
Yeah, this woman's boss, Larry Mizell, is a huge Republican contributor. And he picked up the phone and he said, you know, my lawyer's got this cocaine bust behind her, and we'd like for that to just go away.
And that's what St. Clair's story is about?
St. Charles, yeah.
St. Charles,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, you know, W hasn't forgotten his affection for nose candy, that's for sure.
Well, you know, that's what there are so many variables that are still not answered out there. You know, this goes down in Denver. Maybe she didn't have anything to do with W's Coke Jones. Maybe she was Neil Bush's mistress, coke dealer. We don't know. But that was his stomping grounds back when he was screwing up righteously with Silverado Savings and Loan and so forth.
I know, and all those people were just left basically empty-handed, right?
Yeah.
And the Resolution Trust Corporation, were they able to give these people any of their money back?
And what, pennies on the dollar?
I'm not sure how RTC worked.
Well, I know that out of all of this, Neil Bush came away with not even a slap on the wrist and had taken out monstrous loans. He had been just given, you know, here, you want some money, Neil? And didn't have to pay him back, nothing. Got away, I mean, scot-free, red-handed, got away with murder.
And then, of course, now they pass this bankruptcy law that makes the little person who doesn't have any influence and any family connections like that, you know, basically want to, you know, put people back in debtor's prison.
Yeah, unless your annual income is in the high six figures or better, you're meat.
Well, you should have heard O'Brien's explanation of the classes of wealth today.
Oh, I don't even think I could stand it.
Gosh, I was just in awe. I mean, I was just totally in awe.
Well, you know, I know that feeling. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Yeah,
exactly.
That kind of awe.
Exactly. By the way, I've just finished 2 quarts of Epsom pulse water, and I'm fixing to do a fly-in past his house.
Oh, God, you're awful.
Well, I got to practice my crop dusting, so I figured out he's got him a new house that belonged to his mama, so I figured,
well,
you know.
Merry Christmas.
So, you know, we're gonna, he might take a Santa Claus, but he sure as heck better have a raincoat and an umbrella.
All right, Jim, we got to get out of here.
Bye-bye.
With that. Later. All right, break time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff.
and what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. Games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scrub, Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scrub, Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a fight out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
If I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative,
that's just it. You know what? I don't want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why. And the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know, if there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
Waiting to play, and now she's found snow on the ground. Magic has been set free. She's waited here all of this year just for this day.
And then the night comes alive with lights to dazzle, and everything's extraordinary. Nothing is that ordinary. Christmas has come.
Of light, glitter and play for you, and made of glass dreams from the past wait for this day. And if you try, look in the sky, one star is shining through, and on this eve you can't believe it's far away.
And then the night comes alive with light to dazzle, and everything's extraordinary. Nothing is left ordinary.
Thank you.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. Six minutes after the hour, I'm Bob. It's the night before Christmas. I hope your holiday season is, well, we hope. I hope, Agnes hopes. And the little Kincaids hope that your Christmas is everything you want it to be. And that your new year is as good as this one or better. Let's go to the phones. Ben is with us. Hey, Ben. You're head on. How you doing?
Doing great. You know, earlier today, we were sitting here thinking of interesting ways to annoy the dog. And so we decided to warm up iTunes and go to the iTunes music store and pull up the 30-second free samples, you know, they have there.
Right.
Of these Christmas carols sung, quote-unquote, by samples of dogs barking.
Oh, you're cold.
The jingle dog. I kind of figured we'd see whether Bogey would want to sing along with these things.
And?
Well, our efforts were rewarded. Not only did he start barking furiously, looking everywhere for the dogs and also cats, because the tenors are cats. But he kept on for a better part of an hour.
Oh, little fella.
He had to actually go to sleep and nap to forget that one.
Well, but then again, you know, it's not like you didn't know him.
Right.
You know, chewing things, biting things, carrying on.
Oh, yeah, he's pulled White Rose off the air by eating through our main DSL cable already.
God. Have you learned how to splice that stuff?
I just have a spare handy, so.
Oh, but he's a great little dog.
Yep. So... anyways, yeah, so if you folks out there have yourself dogs and wish to annoy them also this Christmas, go to the iTunes Music Store and look up Jingle Dogs, and you'll find all these nice little free samples that I guarantee you are long enough to either interest the dog or find out he isn't going to bite.
Oh, we'll have to do that for the Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. See, I think I have a problem dog because I have a dachshund. You have a Jack Russell.
Yeah. He's just insane.
Yeah, they are really crazy. Absolutely insane. You
well,
know? I mean,
the juxtaposition between watching a Jack Russell Terrier interact with a Labrador Retriever, the mellowest dog on earth.
Uh-huh.
Is just beautiful, you know. Desdemona, the lab, just sort of lays there, and he gets up and screams in her face. What are you doing? What did? Come on, let's go do something. Why are you just laying there? And
yep.
then there are the cats.
Yep.
It's a merry time around here. I mean, a very merry chase we lead.
Well, we had one case recently where Bogey got out of the room that we mostly keep him in. And decided to chase our one little black cat around the house. And it was like one of those Hanna-Barbera cartoons where you know, they run past the same table every couple seconds.
Right.
Well, that's really the case because they were running around the room.
And a cacophony of barking and, you know, being a dachshund, you know, it was all legs and flopping ears, you know. Not a lot of detail.
And hardwood floors, and neither dog nor cat had much traction.
Yeah, can't get a purchase.
So, you know, so it is kind of also like the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, because the little legs were going a mile a minute, but there wasn't any traction.
And nobody going anywhere. Oh, that's hilarious.
It was hilarious. Anyhow, well, Merry Christmas to you.
And a very Merry Christmas.
Everybody else, and you all take care.
You know, I'll tell you what, it's a time that we should say this kind of thing. Ben, we really do appreciate all your efforts. We truly do.
Why, thank you, sir.
And I think things are only going to keep growing and getting better.
I think you're right.
All righty, then.
You do know that you are the techno god.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, people have to send the proper offerings, you know.
Exactly.
Gold and virgin.
We're working on that.
Gold?
I don't know about the virgins, but the gold we're working on.
Hold out.
I tried looking around on DU, but there weren't very many virgins.
Yeah. Hold out for the platinum, Ben.
Uh-huh.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. You see, right there, that conversation, in a nutshell, is why I object to the illegal spying program that Dear Leader has in place. I have no doubt that that was just recorded in a supercomputer somewhere. Anthrax. And, I don't know if Agent Mike or Agent Bill or Agent Gene is going to feel the need to, dirty bomb, pull that up and listen to it. And that is not the issue. The issue, the word has been used so much that perhaps it's lost some of its currency. The issue is privacy. Pure and simple. It's not that there's anything bad or evil or wicked going on. Or that there's anything particularly scintillating that the government needs to know. Or that anybody else needs to know. Now, this is talk radio, so it's meant for dissemination. But if that conversation had just taken place between, one handset and another handset, one here in West Virginia, another one in Illinois, and, Dear Leader wants to be able to listen to that, screw him! And his NSA. And his vice president who says the power of the presidency was eroded by Watergate. No, the power of the presidency overreached in Watergate. This is not empire, and the president is not deified on earth. Does this make any sense to you? 2 days from now, and on New Year's, and on my birthday, and on Agnes's birthday, on those 4 days, we here will receive a phone call from Venezuela. Because one of the finest human beings and one of the finest families I know resides there. We became friends through a mutual friend family relation. And Christmas doesn't come and birthdays and New Year's don't come, but that phone call comes in from Venezuela. And the first words of the phone call are, God bless you real good. And George Bush doesn't need to hear that. George Bush spits on the very idea of God. But it is the intimacy of that. And the idea that some supercomputer out there, Anthrax, is listening in on that. Ryson. Just makes me sick to my gut. Can you imagine? All you have to do to solve this issue, all you have to do to sort this out, this doesn't take some sort of legal wrangling that you and judicial gymnastics that you learn at the Harvard School of Law or any the Stanford Law or Michigan Law or any of those. The judicial gymnastics that you learn at Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University College of Law. It is not, this doesn't require that. All you have to do, be a strict constructionist for a moment. All you have to do is ask yourself one fundamental question. Would Thomas Jefferson approve? Would James Madison approve? Would George Washington approve? Would Patrick Henry approve? Would Thomas Paine approve? Would Ben Franklin approve? Ask yourself those questions, and you immediately understand that this country is being ostensibly run by an anti-democratic, anti-republic, dictatorial, oligarchic madman. Saren, that's all there is to it. At least I think so. This is Head On.
Oh, put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Another night in New York City. Snow comes down, looks real pretty. Don't know how, but suddenly there you are with Jethro Martin playing for the bar. Inside here, lights are low, but his song has its own glow. As he floats them through that smoky air, we just can't believe he's really there. How old is he? Can I say the claims he talked about?
Yeah. I like it. That's right. I hope that made a little, you know, I struggle to make sense sometimes. But really, it's not the content. It is the privacy and it is the intimacy. Because you know what? It's no leap. It is no leap at all to say that if they can just, you know, download and listen to every phone call or gather information until such time they need to burn your ass, it's no leap to say that they can, well, they can come and watch you in your bedroom. It's the same thing. And so I would submit to you that the same founding fathers and mothers and the same framers of the Constitution who wrote in the Third Amendment that there shall be no quartering of troops in civilian homes, I would submit to you that they would not take kindly to this notion of the Uniblab 10,000 listening to each and every phone call that goes on in this country. And the idea, you know, You know, I'm not like Peter Sellers in Being There, or that guy in Being There. I like to watch. You know, no. Intimacy and privacy is the very soul of why we are a country. That we are free to be ourselves without fear of governmental intrusion. And this is intrusion at its very worst. I would think that's plain, but I don't know. Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Well, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing really well. You know, as a small sidebar, there's this one weather channel here in Nashville. They love to, like, rope viewers in. They're kind of like, they're almost as ugly as the Fox affiliate. They love to do it with odd weather forecasts. They're the only channel in town claiming a 10% chance of snow for Christmas morning. That's along with monkeys coming out of certain places, pigs flying across the... But anyway, again, on a lighter note, because you've been hitting some pretty heavy topics, Andrick.
Rice and
your
gas.
Your friend of mine, Pac-Man Joe.
Oh, yes, the first round pick, sorry. I didn't really do that, did I? From West Virginia University last year in the last draft, Tennessee Titans.
You know, he's had a touchdown here on a punt return, and then he's had like four blown coverages, and the Titans are having an off year. The front office picked the young man. I wanted him to have a great career in football. I just
right.
for the Amsterdam Admirals or the Hamburg Pumpernickels or something, anybody but the Titans or the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have him and they keep stressing because he is so close to just making all of Middle Tennessee hate his ever-loving rear end.
That takes some work.
Well, but he's getting there. Anyway, so they keep raving and raving and raving about how good a player he's going to be, and he's working so hard, and he's working so hard. Well, late on Thursday.
Oh, no.
There was this little moment. Now, kind of tying into your New York Times and where they aren't, the big paper in town did not run the account, but one of the radio guys got to hear the whole thing. As background to this, every professional football team has various little customs that are unwritten but firm. One of the things with the Titans is if you're a roster player, you put up $500 cash a week before Christmas. If you're a non-roster taxi squad player, you put up $250 cash. And based on seniority, the people that manage the equipment, the people that work for not about $10-$12 an hour, but they have the glory of working for an NFL team.
Right.
Divide that up. Pac-Man Jones tells them, I ain't giving nobody no money to do my laundry. And then.
No.
I'm not. The kid that got $13 million, large, to play football, so I ain't giving nobody no $500. And then one of the stalwarts on the defensive side of the ball sidled over to him and said, hey, rookie. Don't be doing that. You need to chill out, pony up five, and let's just go on with our club custom. And he blurted out, Christmas present. I got your beeping Christmas present. I'm going to put a beeping bow on a pair of my socks, Mr. Equipment Manager. And here's you. I got your Christmas present.
Oh. Oh.
So Pac-Man's got a little ways.
Hey, at least we didn't give him a degree, okay? At this juncture, he's not a fellow alum of mine.
He was an employee of the University of West Virginia.
Well, we didn't teach him that behavior.
No, I think he got there with it. Either that, or on a more serious note, side tables brought in Connecticut. We have somebody in Washington, this witch from hell, Marsha Blackburn, wants to trot in the same footprints that Harris did and so many of these other ugly, thin-voiced neocon women that, you know, you see a nice photo of them and you think, well, gosh, how could she have a heart like coal? Well, she does. The state of Tennessee has a guy, Cooper, that's fighting really hard because he's angry about the fact that the deserving veteran typically takes 6 months in this area to be processed such that he is truly eligible for the health care that his veteran status accords him. 6 months.
Wow.
So if a guy is injured in Irakinam, he's got 6 months to wait for the paperwork to get through. He made a speech saying, and a close paraphrase, we've got to do something about staffing, and the staff that's there has got to work harder if these people are staying at this 6 months behind. If we just put some people against the problem and they catch up, then they can stay caught up. So it might even be temporary staffing. I'm sure they had an overload. Marsha Blackburn came out the next day. Chirp to chirp to the chirp. She says, and I quote, there's no need for staffing. We've all got to understand job one, mission one for all of us is to skinny up the bureaucracy and see to it we take the fat out of the system first. Then we'll look at this timetable on these potentially eligible veterans. We've got to skinny up the bureaucracy.
And she probably thinks there's a war on Christmas, right?
Well, it's got some real greeny, grinchy sound look to it to me. I just figure, you know, maybe Pac-Man took a page out of her book.
Let's remember Marsha Blackburn.
Marsha Blackburn.
Is that?
She got into the House. She fell right in line. And the way she got into the House was beginning about 4 years ago, two ugly, punitive, pinched in, horrible talk show host started this, quote, tax revolt in the state of Tennessee. And they did it by having vicious, lying, distorting radio shows. And for hours, every day, on opposing radio stations, they screamed. No. It was from 9 to 12 and 12 to 3, one right after the other. She went from, like, a school board member in Williamson County or something like that to being on those shows as long as 2 hours a day for the 6 months prior to the election that got her in.
Oh, I've seen that happen up here. One of our local cretins tried to pull that off over in Beckley, a guy named Rick Snuffer, you know, Super Jesus. Real bizarro, I'm a conservative Republican, and tried with all his might to use a radio station in Beckley as a bully pulpit, and it was disgusting. And the funny thing, you know, and yet there's no, because the fairness doctrine is dead, there's absolutely no call for any rebuttal or any reining in on that.
No, and seriously, she had 2 hours a day for six straight months of free advertising by virtue of doing research for these two purported journalist-based radio shows. Now, the one saving grace to all of this is that a woman that was slender by anybody's standards 3.5 years ago when she was elected the first time has lost a lot of weight. She's wearing a lot more makeup, and I can tell by certain body languages, this is a woman that looks like she is living on skim milk, fiber pills, and Fentermine. She's got that. She chews air gum constantly when she doesn't.
Oh, that's bad.
So I'm hoping they'll find her walking the wrong way on a one-way street, claiming she's just talked to Nixon and she's going,
"Mommy."
Exactly. But I thought you'd enjoy that little bit of human nature that our man packed in.
Oh, well, it looks like he could have used that senior season.
Oh, Lordy. And it's so funny because he had just gained a few points earlier in the week by doing this wonderful 20-minute interview where he talked about, from his home, palatial place, that he wanted to be the best at his position ever. He wanted this, he wanted that. But, you know, he's looking 5 years down the road when right now,
I'm giving you $500.
I ain't giving nobody no $500. Wash my socks. You got a job to do that. And then Keith Bullock sidles over to him and says,
"Rook."
And he gets even louder. Now that shows that he does have some real decision making problems.
Oh, God, thanks for all that, David, and have the happiest Christmas possible.
I shall, LaGuardia Airport.
All right. Later. Bye now. St. Louis Arch. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I have mixed feelings about Christmas. As a child, and a pretty self-absorbed child at that, all it ever meant to me was a day to get presents. I'm hardly alone in that, of course. It might surprise some people to learn that I still believe in Santa Claus, even though I know everything we know about him is a combination of lies and myth. What I believe in is the spirit of giving that Santa evokes. I've always been more comfortable giving gifts than accepting them. Perhaps I'm just trying to make up for all the years I was a selfish bastard. I could take the high road and go on about the commercialization of Christmas, but for at least the last century in this country, commercialization is pretty much what Christmas has been all about. And since the truth is that the Christians simply adapted the old pagan Yule ritual, well, I don't let it get to me. All of which brings me to my point, which is how I hate the fact that some people are now using Christmas to divide us. It isn't enough for us to be at each other's throats every other day of the year. Now we have to worship Christmas the right way, or at least the right wing way. You don't have to be a Christian to believe that we should care for each other, and I think it's an insult to Jesus to use the day we choose to celebrate his birth as just another reason to beat up on people. I think it's just wrong to do so, and like Scrooge, I hope some people begin to have a change of heart. There's enough misery in the world without adding to it. But hey, don't let me get you down. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Thanks, Joe. And again, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. Go on by. It's a great program. And another great program will go down tomorrow night. Fourth Estate Radio on the air at 10 o'clock. do make sure you you join in. And the chatting will be, I'm sure, quite scintillating as the show goes along at the Tom Hartman chat rooms. Enjoy yourself. And hey to the Tom Hartman chat room gang, as well as, well, I'm not sure when this Friday edition of Head On will run on radiopower.org, but probably over the weekend. Maybe, you know, as you're preparing Christmas dinner. Hey to you guys, too. And thanks to Shelby. Now, we talk about all this NSA stuff, National Security Agency, and their, you know, their Uniblab 10,000s. And listen, I understand. Do you remember when do you remember when the Reagan administration was building the brand spanking new Soviet embassy in the Soviet Union, United U.S. embassy in the Soviet Union, the Reagan administration? And it turned out that you couldn't tie your shoes in there without some Soviet listening in, because the place was just filthy with bugs. I mean, the dirt was wiretapped. I remember that. And a certain amount of spying is going to take place. It goes all the way. It goes, you know, the ancient Greeks used to shave their head and write the message on the bare scalp and let the hair grow back and then send the messenger. You know, the time pressures weren't quite the same back then. But some level of espionage has always taken place, and I understand that, you know, even the fledgling United States in its very first years under the Constitution was scrambling to engage, you know, just to keep, you know, keep up with the people who were keeping up with them, had to engage in some espionage. So, you know, I don't have a problem with that. It happens. It goes on in among governments, like it or no. I mean, heavens to Betsy, the Israelis spy on us as much as any other, as much as any enemy of ours does. Here in West Virginia, a guy who was a professor at, what, Shepherd College in the Eastern Panhandle got busted for shipping intelligence to the Israelis. So I understand our need to have the Uniblab 10,000 automatically keep an eye on what's going on with foreign powers, foreign terrorists, things like that. But you see, the way it works, if you're going to be doing that stuff inside the United States, by definition, you're doing it to innocent Americans. And that's another problem with all of this. If you're gathering information on every American, then you've just thrown the presumption of innocence out the door. And everything, you know, everything that you think about what is good or right or decent in our constitutional form of government, thanks for playing. Because if the presumption of innocence isn't there, neither is anything else. So, look at the data on this. The NSA has the capacity to listen to every overseas phone call. They can take in 2 million pieces of communication per hour. That is your little kids calling their grandma on Christmas Day. That's the phone call that comes from the hospital to tell you he's sick. You better come quick. That's the phone call that comes from college when your kid calls and says, I aced the calculus exam. That is what George Bush wants to hear. And that should make the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck. Mel is with us on the phone. Hey, Mel, you're Head On. Good to hear from you. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Yeah, I've been needing a call, and I've been busy and running, some of it goofing off and some of it business, but I'm down at my son's now, calling from Virginia Beach, and it's been listening to you all on the computer, and I'm as upset as you are about this national security so-called eavesdropping.
Yeah, let's don't call it that. Let's call it what it is. It's spying on Americans.
Well, amen. Now we know what that box on Bush's back was during the campaign.
Don't we, though?
you know, I asked somebody the other day, Bob, you know why Saddam shot his son-in-law in the head or had him shot? you know why Saddam had people drug out of the auditorium and shot in the head? National security.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, same thing. I mean, you know, why did he poison all those people? Yeah, I don't know if he was trying that poison out to see in case he needed it for national security or if those people done something to him, you know. How far can you take this? You start, like you said, you start spying and listening in on people. And the next thing, if you or I don't please them, you know, they lock us up and throw the key away. If that don't work, they put a bullet in our head. It's all for national security.
Right. And at that point, there's no nation that's worth being – there's no security. There's no nation. There's nothing left worth saving. You know, one of the things – is there anybody of us out here who voted for John Kerry now that isn't absolutely convinced that the reason it seemed like they knew every move John Kerry was going to make before he made it was because they did?
Well, maybe these reporters that's got a duty to us, like you were talking about a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
After Bush gets out, maybe they'll tell us about it. if they know that story now, you know, instead of doing their duty, you know, the only thing that I've ever given America stand free, I've gave the media the really, I think that's the reason America's been free, because of the duty that the media has always seemed like they've complied and kept America free. But I'm telling you what now, you know, I think it's all, I agree with you, it's all fallen to the Fox network.
It is, every last bit of it, Mel. You know, CNN, when CBS caved in to Karl Rove over Dan Rather, you know, that was just another indication of how, you know, it was over.
You know, the other night, Bob, I woke up, and, you know, I wish I wasn't like this, but I woke up after I heard about this spying and saw the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, one nation under God,
mm-hmm.
indivisible, freedom and liberty for all,
right.
Our Lord. Yeah, what's this administration stripped us of? You know, they told us after the terrorist attack there, 9/11, come to New York, spend our money, and don't let us, you know, don't run scared, and, you know, we'll fall into exactly what they want us to do. And look what we fell into now, Bob, like you're talking about. They're listening to all of our phone conversations. You're listening probably right now.
I know they are. I have no doubt of it. The stories about these supercomputers, and this is the kind of stuff, Mel, that you used to read about and on the conspiracy theory websites, and you'd say, well, you know, that's just crazy.
You know,
and now it's reality.
My son, and you probably know about this, he told me that he heard that Abraham Lincoln had people locked up that didn't believe in the war, and one of the Wilson or one of them locked his opponent up that had ran against him for president, and he had him locked up later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know exactly the details on that, but it made me feel a tad better like I said, I'm 57 years old, and I swear this country has gone straight to hell under this administration. And, you know, they know my name and address, and I'm going to say what I think, and they can throw me in jail and throw the key away. And it's a sad day that we can't, you know, we're falling exactly as the terrorists just took our privacy away from us, is what I think.
Yeah, they've won. This is, you know, we've turned the arguably the freest nation on earth into nothing better than the same kind of tin pot dictatorships that we say that, you know, we're trying to replace in the Middle East.
What did they? What did the Bush administration start on this privacy thing called HEPA or something? You know, where we had to sign all the papers and. You know, what a joke.
Right. Oh, the Patient Privacy Act stuff every time you went to the doctor. And they jumped you through all those hoops. But if you read that form, down in the middle of it, we respect your privacy. But if you went way down in there into the little bitty print, it was, and the government can have any of this that it wants, and you know it.
But, you know, well, I won't go there. I got another subject there in West Virginia. I don't know if it's happening all over the place, but the insurance companies are all taking they got a waiver on them. I told you before about, you know, I'm going to say it. Bank One sent me a thing that that I had to give up my right to jury trial. And I thought the Seventh Amendment to the Constitution gave me the right in a civil matter over $20 to have a jury trial.
That's what it says.
Well, now we get a insurance policy the other day, and guess what's on the front of it? You know, after we canceled the other one, we get one that's got a big orange sticker on the front of it. If you accept this policy, you give all rights, you know, to a jury trial, and you have to arbitrate it. You know, I have never seen people roll over and give away what people's, you know, sweated, died, and bled for. And, you know, Bush has taken us plumb back to the 1920s.
No, I didn't think it was quite that recent. This is a president who wants the same power that the King of England had before the signing of the Magna Carta.
Well, you know what? I told my wife we were traveling to Virginia Beach today, and I told her, I said, well, you know what? They can give us liberal Democrats all the hell they want to. We and anybody except some neocons will admit it. The reason the troops are going to start coming home is guess why? You know why they're coming home.
The 2006 elections.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I thank the Lord for midterm elections. I thank him that the Democrats has pushed for the troops to get to come home. I'm thankful that they've held this Patriot Act up until they get some, I think what they made it, gave it another month instead of 6 months.
Right.
So they're going to work on it just as soon as they get back and put some checks and balances in it. You know, they were talking in the election about gays, guns, and abortion. And like you said, the abortion rate's up. The guns on this Patriot Act, if national security, they can come in your house and take every gun you got.
Yeah, don't talk on the phone about what kind of guns you got in the cabinet, you know?
You're right. No, I don't. Like I said, we're stuck. But and I was glad to hear that the little weasel from Alaska there, the hawk, he got that and crammed up. They showed that land and how beautiful it was, and Big Oil didn't get that yet. They'll probably stick it in on something else. And for anybody to be able to stick that in on national defense budget, you know, it's some sick puppies.
No, the bad sick. And this just came out. You know, we thought the $50 million bridge to nowhere mill?
Yeah.
Up in Alaska?
That was Hawks.
Well, we thought we had that one stopped.
Oh, really?
They got it anyway. They've started construction.
Well,
a $50 million bridge to an island that has 46 people on it. Maybe Ted Stevens' son is one of them.
Well, you know, I don't want to use a couple words I shouldn't maybe use and then quote the Bible, but like I said and wrote in the paper, the Bible says there'll be a generation whose teeth are sharper than two-edged swords to devour the poor off the earth. And then Cheney comes back from his trip to make the vote to boost this, $40 billion cut in Medicare and Medicaid and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And if that's not what the Bible's talking about, I hope it's not. But
that's ye generation of vipers stuff, Mel.
Yeah.
I mean, there's anybody that would cut medical help to the poor in order to prepare the way for another tax cut for the richest 1% of this country. There's no other word for them than, I mean, Jesus was right. Vipers, just poisonous, malevolent killers.
Well, they never cease to amaze me. Like I said, I'm trying to sleep at night, but I'm having a hard time. And I take the stuff serious, and I think people better wake up. I am grateful as I travel around, and I've already been talking to people that voted for Bush. And a guy told me the other day that was a Republican. He said two things I don't listen to. I said, what's that? He said, I don't listen to the weather, and I don't listen to Bush and Cheney anymore. So I told him, well, I'll watch your weather. But
yeah. Hey, do you remember Mel when the VFW had their meeting and Bush went and spoke to it? Oh, it was a couple of months back, and a bunch of those old Korea and World War II types went to the meeting, and the White House got so mad because they wore these covers over their ears that said Bush BS detector or filter or whatever.
No, I never seen
that. The United States, I think, is beginning to put them on, and you're seeing, you know, there's a whole lot less of those W the President stickers on cars anymore.
Oh yeah.
We drove past one of those on 19 the other day, my wife and I did, and we just looked over at that fella in that car and just sat there and just laughed at him.
I've seen, matter of fact, you're seeing less of those, and I'm starting to see the ones with the W with the ring, red ring, and a slash through it. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I got one of those right here on the wall.
Yeah, well, I got one that says who's going to clean up after the elephants, and And I know people don't look at me as much as they did, but it's good talking to you again, Bob. I want to be listening more and be more involved. And but
I hope you will be.
I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll be talking to you.
All right, Mel, and the very best to you and your family, and give those grandbabies a big old hug.
Okay, I'm getting ready to right now.
All right, sounds good. Merry Christmas, Mel.
Merry Christmas.
Take care. And we'll just keep it rolling on. Jim had a thought for us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
No, I just heard Mel, and I heard Mel when he had his encounter with Steve O'Brien on his morning show a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mel is a very unassuming, humble man.
No, he's a mighty good man. We could use a few more Mels in this world.
Yeah, let me finish. And he's a very good and unassuming man, and he's a very meek and mild-sounding person who is not puffed up and not trying to, you know, impress a lot of people with a bunch of blarney and just basically very plain-spoken. And I respect a man like that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect the way he handled himself with Steve O'Brien, because Steve O'Brien was absolutely rude to him. And to tell you the truth, if I'd had the opportunity to meet Mr. O'Brien behind the building somewhere, he went shorter. I can tell you that right now. And my hat's off to Mel. I've heard him before.
Mm-hmm.
He's a human being, and I certainly appreciate, admire, and respect him.
Well, that's, you know, that's one of the things that makes my job so good. I get to deal with a lot of decent, good, upstanding, morally conscious, ethically sound individuals.
The second reason I called, and a lot of people have heard me talk about St. Thomas More. And you don't have to be a Catholic, or you don't have to believe in the veneration of saints or whatever, to appreciate good men and the examples that they've set in history. And his is a life that people could certainly read a little bit about and see what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man who was a lawyer's son who came from the lower middle class, basically, and was raised up by virtue of his own thrift and industry. And he became the Chancellor of England, the most powerful man in England next to the king, really.
Yeah.
And Henry would have raised him up with his own hand and basically offered him, the way Satan did, Christ, all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. But because of his conscience and because of his devotion to his faith, he lost his home, he lost his office, his family was persecuted, and he lost his head. And all he had to have done was to have taken an oath and come out of the Tower of London, but he didn't. And he told the axeman who was about to cut off his head, he said, God will not refuse someone who is so blind to go to him. Ever since I was 21, when I saw the film about this man's life, it made a difference in my life. If I could ever be like somebody or have the courage he has, not only said this, but one other person, that's John Kennedy, another good Catholic, it would be St. Thomas More.
Well, Jim, he defined in his age honor for a number of people, and for subsequent ages as well. There's a among lawyers, there's a Thomas More Society. You know, and there's something called the Red Mass that is performed every year. It's ecumenical. It's non-sectarian.
Right. And, you know, this man basically was a good person who believed in the taking of an oath, and you could believe what he said. And whenever you went before him, he gave you a fair judgment quickly.
Now, the sad thing is, Jim, and I'm running out of time, but the sad thing is that there's always someone with nefarious ends who is willing to co-opt something good and decent, and we saw that. For instance, and it's shameful, this Dover, Pennsylvania lawsuit over intelligent design, you're familiar with that, right?
Right.
Do you know who brought that lawsuit?
No.
The Thomas More Law Center. And it is a right-wing, fundamentalist, theocratic group of lawyers who want to cram their beliefs down everyone else's throat. And they've co-opted Thomas More.
I don't know what Sir or St. Thomas would have done in a case like this, but I can assure you he would have behaved more admirably than they, and probably isn't too pleased right now to know they've used the same.
I should hope so.
But like I say, if anyone has the opportunity see the film, A Man for All Seasons.
It's brilliant.
1966, Fred Zinnemann. It took every award going.
Yep. It's a great one. Thanks, Jim. Take care, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
All right, a break, and then the final hour.
Mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. Downhill for the holiday weekend. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I certainly do wish you all the very best. We all do. The phone numbers, well, you heard Brian Reznor there. There's another one, 304-658-3333. Email comes in at bob@headonradio.com. If you're, and by all means, if you're going to be traveling or running around this weekend, be extra careful. Seems like the weirdos get out on the highway at the holiday season. Now, of course, the big news for the last day or so, like I said at the top of the program, what was a drip sort of sharing of information out of the Fourth Estate, the journalism stenography pool, is in fact becoming a bit of a flow and a bit of a flood. Now, that same theme keeps cropping up with the Republican Party. Do they just think we're dumb, or are they as stupid as they appear to be acting? Here goes that Bob calling names again. Tom Daschle came out with a column today in the Washington Post. You've heard all this argument about, well, you know, Dear Leader was able to wiretap the entire American populace because it was inherent in the war powers granted him in the resolution passed by the Congress right after 9/11. And they just said that. They just make stuff up. And here it, you know, there it was again. Tom Daschle wrote, in the face of mounting questions about news stories saying that President Bush approved a program to wiretap American citizens without getting warrants, the White House argues that Congress granted it authority for such surveillance in the 2001 legislation authorizing the use of force against al-Qaeda. On Tuesday, Vice President Cheney said the president, quote, was granted authority by the Congress to use all means necessary to take on the terrorists, and that's what we've done.
Yeah.
Well, Daschle notes that he was Senate Majority Leader at the time and was involved in the negotiations of the legislation that was ultimately passed and signed. He said, I'm confident that the 98 senators who voted in favor of authorization of force against al-Qaeda did not believe that they were also voting for warrantless domestic surveillance. Now, this is one of the key parts of the essay. Just before the Senate acted on this compromise resolution, the White House sought one last change. Literally minutes before the Senate cast its vote, the administration sought to add the words, and I quote, in the United States and, that's it, after the phrase appropriate force in the agreed upon text, so that it would have read appropriate force in the United States and other countries. This last-minute change would have given the president broad authority to exercise expansive powers, not just overseas, where we all understood he wanted authority to act, but right here in the United States, potentially against American citizens. I could see no justification for Congress to accede to this extraordinary request for additional authority. I refused. And don't all the little pieces just fall into place? How many times on this program, how many times In the past incarnation of this program, have I asked, oh, by the way, since they're so good at catching terrorists, by the way, have they caught the anthrax killer yet? Anybody happen to remember who got the anthrax letters? Oh, yeah, Bob, it was that guy that worked for the National Enquirer down in Florida, and he died for... Yeah, he did. And Tom Brokaw? Tom Brokaw got one? Who else got an anthrax letter? You know. Tom Daschle got an anthrax letter. Now, here are two very powerful men. In 2001, it's Tom Daschle. And he's stopping George Bush, or so he thinks, from spying on the American people. And then he gets an anthrax letter. Can you imagine what would have happened to Tom Daschle had he opened that himself? And do you remember? Do you remember? Yes. Why? You know, because, look, the conspiracy theory websites, you know, I'm a little... I remember when a lot of people were asking why the president and vice president and the administration, why did they get the Cipro shots or the Cipro pills, or why did they get the antibiotics that were counteractive to anthrax before the anthrax attacks began? Why? Well, now you know. These are totalitarian monsters. And you can go back to that question that I asked a little bit ago. It doesn't take a lot of highfalutin legal gymnastics to read a whole bunch of the Constitution. The Constitution was literally written by geniuses. Some historians have said that the gathering of brilliant minds that crafted the United States Constitution was among the single greatest concentration of absolute pure genius that the world may ever have known in one place. Adams, Franklin, Madison. There's an anecdote that says... When the Constitution had been ratified, that Benjamin Franklin walked out onto the street and was asked by someone passing by, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government do we have? And Franklin looked at that person and said, a republic, if you can keep it. If you can keep it. Now, there's not a whole lot of time left in tonight's show, and it's probably a little bit too hefty for Christmas anyway. Oh, who am I kidding? Like we've been doing the lightweight the Jesus in it fried cheese sandwich stories. Oh, wait, I got one of those! But the fact of the matter is, the framers of the Constitution crafted something that does not exist anymore. The framers of the Constitution crafted a classic republic. That was an act of sheer genius, a bicameral legislative body that could not rule the nation, an executive that could not rule the nation, and a judiciary that could not rule the nation. It required the interaction of all three in order to make the nation go and succeed and flourish. And they built dynamic tension in among those bodies so that there would always be not agreement, but disagreement. Because anything that would be of momentous change to the United States would have to require a heroic level of agreement. You know, two-thirds of the both houses of Congress to amend the Constitution. Two-thirds of the several states to ratify an amendment to the Constitution. As Dear Leader likes to call it, hard work. You see, it's not supposed to be easy. And a republican democracy isn't easy either. It's easy for people who, you know, if you want to live in a dictatorship, there are plenty of them. Mel made brilliant points in the last hour. All the things that allegedly we deposed Saddam for, guess what? Saddam listened in on his own people. Saddam arrested people and threw them in jail without access to lawyers. Is there anyone who is still, and yes, there are, my God, the weirdo right-wingers are out there. There are right-wing chat sites that have members in the tens and hundreds of thousands. People who, they don't think you're their fellow Americans, and I encourage you not to think of them in that way either, but they think they own this place. And they want an imperial president. And they don't care about their Fourth Amendment rights.
You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
You know, that bunch. They don't care about anything else, though. Nothing left in the constitutional form of government that was set up, or else they would be screaming from the rafters. But it's all politics now, sunshine, isn't it? Sure it is. It's all politics. All you have to do is ask yourself how they'd be behaving if Bill Clinton had done this. Well, you get a pretty good idea because of the fact that they're trying to say that Bill Clinton started this. They're sneak thieves. Footpads in the darkness. They're not my countrymen. Franklin's my countryman. Jefferson. The people who are liberals and progressives and dream of a day when America is everything that America was set up to be, those are my countrymen. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Really know if I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative,
you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because you know what? I mean, you know. If there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive FourthEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at FourthEstateRadio.com. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.
Cool Jazz 101 Christmas Music. I'm Bob. Be with you till 10. Welcome back. 20 past. Let's go back to the phones. David had another thought for us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Could I hear something from that chick Korea does Evergreen Standard?
We'll have that for you right away. It's cool.
But first, we'll do the lewd and toot. Okay, I got one for you. This is the most sweeping generalization, conspiracy theory. What the heck has he been doing? Maybe I've been watching the Christmas lights too much.
They'll do that.
Yeah, I know. You know, blinking things, different colors, that's all it takes for me. You've said it, I've said it, everybody in America has said it. 1760, 70, along in there, there was a collection of extraordinary individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Genius. Guys that saw a future, had ideas, uncommon intellect, and the ability to apply it in very, very extraordinary ways. And I've wondered about it for decades. How was it that we were so blessed, and I use that in a secular sense,
yes,
to have all of that talent show up in one place? And I think I may have figured it out, and it scares me to death, Bob.
Share it.
Let's compare where should Bushmerica continue. Let's compare where Bushmerica is headed and where that George, I think it was the third one, had England about that time. You had 1 or 2% of the population that dictated over all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You had a king. It was the divine right. And he had about 2% of the population under him to whom he could give land. He could assign the ability to raise an army. He could give them the means to have an extraordinary life and allow them to screw the rest of the country, grind them into the dirt, turn them into starving slaves. There was no middle class. And if anybody around that king were to say, hold it a second, George, could we give this some thought? Let's not, you know, what we're doing over here, do we really want to go that way? George would simply summon another guy he had given thousands of acres to and allowed to raise an army, and he would say to that guy, hey, look, the fellow over there doesn't think the club's working real well. I'll give you what I gave him if you make him not be a problem for me.
Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?
And the thinkers and the honest ones and the ones that gave a damn were forced out of that country. All of the honest ones, all of the ones that weren't inbred, butt-kissing sycophants left. And where did they go? They came here.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
Reckon where the good ones from this country are going to go in another 10 or 12 years if Bush keeps this up. Where's the next frontier, Bob?
There's no frontier left. There's no frontier left, David.
But we're going to drive those people to either leaving or revolution.
We're going to stand and fight. That was my next statement. We got no other choice.
If there's nowhere else to go, and look what they're doing. Am I completely nuts? Isn't there a parallel forming here?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And the thing is, the other side, you know, and you know far better than me, you remember all the anti-communist rhetoric and blah, 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 blah. But we are, the other side that opposes us, David, is the crowd that would rather live on their knees than die on their feet. I'm the opposite, and I sense you are too.
Oh, you bet. Never mind what I think I am about, but I really believe that all of those things are in place for a continuation of that unless and until some people and some processes and some New York Times and some voters and some people that might want to walk through their neighborhood and say, have you thought about this? Here, let me explain something to you. We've got to do something, other than what we're not doing right now, because there's no place. What are they going to do? Move to Nigeria? Go to Mongolia? There's no place else on earth to take anything from indigenous people anymore to create a brand new country. There just isn't any place.
To the moon, Alice, to the moon.
Yeah, those tickets are a little spendy. So we're back in against the proverbial hard place. And, you know, when you're in the corner and something is bothering you, you either fall to your knees and die or you come out of the corner.
Yeah.
It's a revelatory thought, but anyway.
Well, no. I think you're absolutely correct. And you used a phrase at the beginning of the conversation, David. You said blessed, and I mean that in the secular sense. Here's the other half of the equation. Those people who blessed us in the secular sense did so because they were able to do so in a secular society. After the initial rule by the Puritans in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, unless I'm horribly mistaken, the colony of Massachusetts went so far as to actually forbid members of the religious community from serving in government. Franklin courted association with one of the larger churches. He was also an honorary member of the largest synagogue in Philadelphia. And that's about as far as his religion went. This nation was founded by geniuses who were rationalists and who were part of the Enlightenment. And who understood that you throw a sop out in a document here and a document there to divine providence, but when it all comes to a head, the only people who were going to save they were going to save themselves or die, and sitting around and waiting for pie in the sky and live on hay by day, they weren't willing to do that because they had intellects and they had been educated, and they understood that it was going to take the workings of the human mind to bring forth this new republic.
No Ben Franklin, no United States of America. No Ben Franklin, nothing like we know today.
Right.
Franklin had an absolute, he would have been the first guy to mount the hue and cry to stop a theocracy. He was intensely interested in avoiding that.
Exactly.
And so was Jefferson, in my opinion, based on so much of what he has.
Well, and Adams and the Treaty of Tripoli, the Treaty of Tripoli says the United States is in no wise founded upon the Christian religion. It couldn't be any plainer. I think you're absolutely correct in your assessment, and we've got to take our bottom of the hour break.
Well, Bob, thanks for letting me espouse another one of my crackpot theories.
No crackpot. Nope. I don't think there's any pots cracked in the David house.
Ammonium nitrate.
Saren. Later. Bye.
Yeah.
More of that cool jazz. Okay, we'll be back. This is Head On.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
That fail known time for years. Welcome, friends, we stay a while. Our story starts with one small child who spends this night in
almost 28 minutes before the hour. I mentioned at the top of the hour, or top of the show, not top of the hour, the other story breaking today, this one out of U.S. News and World, U.S. News and World Report. Article by David E. Kaplan. This should curl the toes of and hair and everything else that should bend fingers backwards of every person of faith in this country. But it won't, of course. You know, everybody. You know, we've talked a lot about the Fourth Amendment in the last week, and of course, I've said time and again the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. None of it's worth a hoot without the Fourth. And jealous proponents of the First Amendment. You know what you hear so much lately, for the last several years, out of the religious wrong, you know, the fundamentalists. Is it? There ain't no such thing as the separation of church and state. That don't appear in the First Amendment. It ain't in there. There ain't no such thing. And you get groups like the Dominionists and the Reconstructionists and the Apocalypticists and all these other religious maniacs who say that, and they're out there. They say these things like, the most ignorant Christian would be better in government than the most intelligent atheist. Others have come out and said, well, you know, atheists and agnostics and Jews and Muslims should not be allowed to participate in government. You know, these people who call themselves Christians say these things. Well, in search of a terrorist nuclear bomb, the federal government, since 9/11, this is part of it, no more drip, drip, drip. It's just a steady flow now. The faucet's open. The federal government, since 9/11, has run a far-reaching, top-secret program to monitor radiation levels at over 100 Muslim sites in the Washington, D.C. area, including mosques, homes, businesses, and warehouses, plus similar sites in at least 5 other cities. U.S. News has learned in numerous cases the monitoring required investigators to go on the property under surveillance. And here's the key part. Although no search warrants or court orders were ever obtained, some participants were threatened with loss of their jobs when they questioned the legality of the operation. Just let that sink in. That just burns. That hurts. That makes you, anybody who loves the Constitution and loves our country aches at the thought of this. Now, and you know, I mentioned it last night. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. And if we're, look, okay, this is what the Bush administration is doing. But if we allow the Bush administration to get away with this, then, you know, when my party takes power, I want to do warrantless surveillance on the Southern Baptists. I want to do warrantless surveillance on the Pentecostals. I want to do warrantless surveillance on all the really, really weird ones. You know, the people who have, you know, blind, you know, if you say it's okay to spy on somebody else, then it's okay to spy on you, right? This is as racist as it comes. This is as racist as it comes. Not 50 miles from here, there's the Islamic Center of West Virginia in South Charleston. Can those people go to Friday prayers now and feel secure in the practice of their faith? Now that we know that the Bush administration freely spies on religious sects who have proven no threat whatsoever? Do they have the freedom? Do they have freedom of a religion in America now? No, they don't. They have freedom to sit down and shut up and behave and say the Pledge of Allegiance and sing the national anthem when you're told to. And don't question authority. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good, man, good. I heard, I've been out, man. I heard Mel on a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the first time he's called?
Yeah, it was great to hear from him.
Yeah, he's a good man, Mel. I hope he decides to run for the House.
I do, too.
You know,
I'll help.
Huh?
I'll
help, too. He's a good man. He's a real good man. But listen, I don't mean to change the subject.
Go ahead.
And it's kind of on the subject anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And, well, Randy Rhodes brought this to my attention, and I found it rather funny because I've always been I've got all the things. Randy Rhodes says, if you want to understand this government, watch Godfather 1 and Godfather 2.
Oh, she's so right.
Well, listen, you know, I mean, I've always watched them movies, and, you know, when those movies came out, I was working in an Italian bar and restaurant in Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, you talk about being emboldened. After these people saw that movie, buddy, I mean, you know, it was kind of tough for a little Serbian kid to, you know, I had to stand up and fight, you know, and then they decided, you know, well, this guy's okay.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, like, it's just like, you know, they have this Sicilian sacred society that you did, you know, all of a sudden, though, they find Hyman Roth.
Right.
He wasn't Sicilian.
No, no.
You know.
No.
What'd he do? He could make them money.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, that's similar to, you know, well, this guy, Saddam's a bad guy, but the guy that oils people.
Yeah, Aslam Karimov.
Yeah, right. You know, he's our buddy.
Yeah, he's
he makes us money.
Right. Well, and it works that way inside the United States, too, Wayne. I mean, Randy Rhodes says that for a very good reason. It's so applicable. You ever heard that old bit where you put on Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon right with when the Wizard of Oz goes to color and it all just matches up perfectly? Well, it's the same thing with George Bush and the Bush administration and the Godfather.
Exactly. Here's, you know, even a more recent
well, look, who's
parallel.
Who's the Hyman Roth of the Bush administration? Jack Abramoff.
There you go.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know. And to a big extent, I can't think of his name. Our good friend that ran for vice president.
Oh, Lieberman?
Yeah.
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good, you know. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
even in a more recent time, and check this parallel out. You had who? What was his? I think he died recently. The Dapper Don.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gotti.
Yeah, John Gotti.
John Gotti. Okay. Well, John Gotti, blah blah blah, all this stuff. Well, John Gotti goes away. A few years later, idiot's son is the man.
Right.
The Godfather.
Sure.
Is there not a comparison between senior and junior?
Oh, yeah, you could drive a truck through it. It's so big.
And if I'm correct, and I hope I'm correct because I want this parallel trial to continue. Isn't young Gotti in jail now, too?
I'm not entirely certain, but we can hope, because I want the parallel to continue as badly as you do.
Yes, I think that would be a proper ending. I mean, Coppola couldn't have done it better.
No.
You know what I mean?
Not at all.
And
then again, you know, there are those of us who believe that George W. is actually Fredo.
That's a good comparison. That Gotti kid wasn't the brightest bulb in the room.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, George is not.
Was his old man for that matter.
You know, George isn't fierce and mean like Sonny, and
right.
He's not smart. He's not smart and calculating like Michael. He's got to be Fredo.
Hey, I agree with that one. You put me down, mark me down for that. I'll agree with that analysis.
This has nothing to do with fishing boats.
It's only business.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You know. But I don't know. I heard you saying a little bit about, you know, this ain't my country. This isn't my country anymore, and it's not. You know, but let's get over that. And, you know, then after the first year, we're going to take our country back.
Yeah.
That's. Should be our thing. And, I'm tired. I'm not. It's time to start speaking up and yelling. And, we have to say what we think.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And we have to say it louder that we can't just whisper amongst each other.
We
can't. We have to stand up and shout it.
Yeah, and we can't allow ourselves to be shouted down anymore, Wayne.
No, I'm not going to be.
None of this hooey about how we're cheapening the political discourse and, oh, look, they're comparing George Bush to Hitler, blah, 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 blah. That's part and parcel of the strategy. We call BS every time it's spoken.
Exactly. I'll tell you, I watched that. Who's that guy on C-SPAN, Brian?
Lamb.
Okay, this morning I was watching a bit of, and somebody said, you guys have been on these, Republicans ever since George Bush took, and Brian said, wait a minute, we're on Bill Clinton for 8 years too, pal.
Yeah.
That was the end of that, you know, so we need more of that.
Oh, it's by the boatload.
Yes, we do,
and part of that is to stand up to the media too. I mean, somebody needs to severely call Bill Keller at the New York Times. Needs to call him in on the carpet,
yeah,
and let him know that we're not going to that stuff can't stand either.
But here's where that has to start at a lower level, and that lower level is us. I mean, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel, man, here.
Yeah.
But we're the guys that elect these dudes. We're the guys that give them the money. We're the guys that back them and work for them and do all that. And we have to tell them, listen, you know, you made some really bad decisions here, and if you're not going to correct that, we're not going to back you anymore.
No.
We're going to go with somebody else. I mean, I'm serious about, you know, like, if you're not going to stand up and fight for us, people accuse us of not being the party of the working people anymore, Democrats.
Right.
And you know what? They're right.
Yeah, well, you know, when you...
You know, because we got Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer. I mean, that thing in New York has got me really upset.
Look, it took Democrats to pass the... it took Democrats to pass the bankruptcy bill. It took Democrats to pass the class action reform
and those Medicaid.
And yeah, and all of that is just as hateful as can be to a working person.
Well, and just I mean, you know, how these people that Medicaid bill, Medicaid, Medicare, whichever one it was they did, that they lied about and threatened the guy with his job and all that stuff, and now even his high estimate that they didn't want to tell anybody is like, you know, what, 40% of what it's going to
cost?
Yeah,
now it looks, now the high estimate looks like a bargain.
Right, and the costs are going up and up and up. And in that bill, it says even though this government agency is going to be buying billions of dollars worth of drugs from the drug companies, we are not allowed to negotiate for a better price.
No, couldn't do that.
And these idiots that back these other idiots go, oh, that's okay. you know, when Bremer lost $8 or $9 billion in his desk drawer in Iraq, you know, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know.
But
we got to make them, why did we cut or want the poor people to pay a co-payment on Medicare now? Because they have to be, we have to teach them to be responsible? Is that in that
text? I know.
Huh?
I know what you, yeah.
Time to get mad, man.
Time to get mad, time to stay mad, Wayne.
And stay mad. That's exactly right. And stay mad. Yeah, we've got mad a lot. This time we have to stay mad.
And we have to stop being quite so attention deficit disorder. You know, there's an outrage. There's a new outrage every day. We have to pick the ones that matter and stay on message.
Yeah, we do.
Because the other side's really, really good at that.
Yes, they are.
And
the we is us, because we emboldens the guys that we put over there.
Right.
And, you know, there's a couple of guys that we put over there that, you know.
Yeah, not so much.
Taken out in the woodshed a little bit and say, hey, you know, whose side are you on here?
I'm
a little confused. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, if they ever make another one, I think we can get you a walk on. Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Yeah. Hey, that guy died, that confused guy. Did you see that?
No.
Who was the Don that he pretended like he was mentally ill for years?
Oh, yeah.
He walked around in his pajamas and stuff.
Yeah.
Walked down the street.
Oh, God, I can't.
Cigar.
Right.
Yeah, he died the other day.
Oh, bummer.
In prison, you know.
Huh.
But, well, you know, rightfully so.
Sure.
I mean, I like the movies and all that, but I, you know, the guys.
The lifestyle's not one I want to participate in.
No, exactly.
And I'd kind of like to stop watching it being participated in inside my government.
Well, and that's what this phone call's all about.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, so it's going to be, we're going to take our country back. That's the motto. Okay, well, Democrats are looking for one. They're having all kind of committee meetings. Hey, let's send them that one.
Yeah, that works.
We're taking our country back.
And we'll give it to them for free.
Yeah.
We don't have to have focus groups or billion-dollar studies. It's yours for free. We're taking our country back. It's good enough for me.
Exactly. Save all that money, time, and now you can get to work.
Yeah.
To take our country back.
Hey, Wayne. I'm
going to get rid of your butt.
Thanks so much, man. And,
right,
and a happy, happy Christmas to you.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to go way out on a limb when we come back. Probably to the breaking point. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In the night was the dark, in the dark was the dream, in the dream was the child, and myself there unseen, and the book was the word.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Where the dark went on forever, and the world seemed like a dream gone astray.
Like I said, we're way out on a limb here. This is a very small studio. It's crowded with two people in it. Now there are five. Because we're going to attempt something here that may work or may not. The other three we have in here are the three little munchkins. There's Munchkin A, Munchkin B, and Munchkin C. And we have divided up the second chapter of Luke. And, you know, rather than me droning on anything like that, they're old enough. They used to get it read to them. Now they're going to be the ones doing the reading. So, Maestro, appropriate music, please. I think we need an instrumental for that, dear. This may take a little fishing around. This is all on the fly. Don't hyperventilate, boy. The Boogie Woogie Christmas Story? All right, that'll do. All right. Everybody, quiet. Let's do this right. Come here. A little lower. Okay. No heavy breathing into the microphone, son. Go.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made in Cyrenius. Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house in lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, and that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were the same country shepherds abiding the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
And all they that heard
it wondered at those things which were told them by shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Well done, little Kincaids. Very well done. Now, see, the way it works is next year we'll do this again, and we'll watch them grow, and watch them get better and better and better. I'm proud of them.
We're proud of them.
We're proud of them. Merry Christmas, Munchkins. Now, the show tonight, of course, was produced by the lovely and talented Agnes, my darling wife. It was announced by Brian Reznor. It was engineered by Randy Kerbway. The stream is maintained, and the archives are maintained as well by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. And always, RMR, especially at Christmas, it's all for you.